For I speak to you as a man who has lived among you. Your gods are my gods. I was born a Saxon, but raised a Dane. For years that divided me. But perhaps the gods have led us all here. For I will offer you a bargain. I ask you to fight now. For me and for Northumbria. And if we take these lands, we will be taking them for Saxons and for Danes. Follow me, and all Danes will live in peace here. I swear this to you. Danes will not be hunted nor live in forests. You will have lands and homes. And I ask you not to do this for Saxons. Do it for what your forebears came here for. For the reason they risked their lives and crossed the seas. To make a homeland. Follow me in this, I swear. You have my word as a Saxon and as a Dane.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix, so grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I am ready to run through a brick wall right now. Let's go. Fighting for Danes and Saxons. Gonna live happy. Gonna do the thing.
Yes.
Oh, let's just go to town for Uhtred. You tell me go to Pluto, I'll go to Pluto.
Good.
I don't care. Let's go.
Me too.
That was some good stuff right there.
It really was.
I don't know how you can't, like, at least for Saxons. And, like, I don't know how that doesn't get you excited. If you don't get excited from that, you don't got a pulse.
Oh, well, some people get excited and some people are just tired.
Well, then that's on them. They don't got a pulse.
What an amazing finale. It was just awesome. So we're going to delve into this show because we just can't wait to talk about it. Before we do, this is your final warning, friends. We're not going to be having other Last Kingdom podcasts until the movie comes out.
Correct.
Which it will be coming out.
There's no
at some point
date. There's no announcement date yet for it. So, or
at some point,
premiere date for it. But it, my best guess, since it, I think, just stopped principal photography not too long ago, I would say probably next year. That's when we're going to see it.
Okay.
That's my guess.
That all being said, please stay in touch with Blake and I. Go to Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube and search Mary and Blake and follow along. Let us know your favorite things that you're tuning into now. Of course, we're podcasting about the House of the Dragon, Rings of Power, the Potterverse with Harry Potter. So those are going to be our ongoing podcasts that are going to be taking place while we go into the fall here in 2022. And also, we want to thank our friends at JoinTheNerdClan.com for making all of this possible. So let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Of course, this is the finale, and you might just sit there and be like, duh, Mary, we know. But in case you're someone who binged the entire season and maybe you don't know where things began or ended, a quick little thing. Edward's attack sucks. The Scots come out of the woods and they start to push them all up against that cliff. And we see many a splatter.
Lots of blood this episode.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Constantine, as I said, he's pushing all those guys back. Wickar hangs out in Bebbanburg and just kind of watches everything from up high. Steora saves the day. And she and the Danes end up making a sandwich with the Scots in the middle. And Edward is pumped. He thinks that this is the greatest thing ever. Uhtred has Bebbanburg. Uhtred tells everybody, this is my land. Edward says, I love you, Uhtred. Uhtred says, cool. By the way, I made a deal with King Constantine because he's really cool. And these lands are my lands. They are not your lands. And maybe one day one of your many bastards can take care of it. Not one of the bastards, but one of your kids can take care of it. But it's not happening now. Peace. And Osbert, who is the baby that has not been named,
makes a reappearance, baby.
Osbert, meaning the second, meaning yes. Uhtred's first name.
Yes.
He's there.
That's a great callback. Yeah. That's a great callback. So that's that. That is that, ladies and gents.
Destiny is all, man.
We did it. All right. So, director, The Last Kingdom OG director, John East, who directed episodes 203, 204, 305, 306, and 509, the last episode. And the writer, once again, Martha Hillier. She is the showrunner of The Last Kingdom and the future writer of The Seven Kings Must Die, the feature film that is yet to be given a release date. And Barry, as I've always said, she's written a ton of episodes of The Last Kingdom. So,
yeah,
do that on your own time.
Oh, do it on your own time.
You know, you missed the jump there, Mary.
Sorry.
You missed the jump. That's okay. No problem.
I'm all tired today, friends. So I'm trying. I'm trying.
Yep. All right. Your shields rating. How many shields
Five.
Are you given? Yep. Okay.
Love it.
Yep. You know what? Me too.
Yay.
Me too. And I would say that this is probably my favorite episode of the season. Because it just pulls everything together the way that I think
that.
The Last Kingdom is supposed to do. So how many, what's your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
My good is we're home. It's a little charred, but
little
I like
bit.
My marshmallows charred. So I guess I'll take Bebb and Bird charred. You might want to work on that, you know, since your whole place is kind of made out of wood, but
yeah.
We're home and everybody's got a home. I don't know where the ale came from. Maybe that was part of Ethelhelm's picnic and Instacart order because there was a lot of ale.
So much ale.
But everybody's happy and is at home and I'm here for it.
Yes.
My bad was the splattering of blood as those soldiers would fall.
Oh, man.
Gross.
There was that one, like they would cut away at the end. So you didn't see anybody fall and like splat until there was that one time.
Just gush.
It was just this, it was like a gusher. You know, it was like when you chew into a gusher and all the juice comes out.
Makes you think of the people who created the bloody stuff, the prosthetics people and everyone. Makes you think how many tries they had of like throwing, I don't know what they used, a jug, maybe they exploded things from behind the rocks. Like how many takes did they have to get that one? Because probably others didn't look like a proper body exploding at the bottom of
Right. Unless it was CGI blood, which they have used, you know, in these big splats. So
I thought it was very splatterific. So that was my bad, just because I don't like blood and that would have freaked me out.
Oh, that was good.
And then my great.
Yes.
It's just the show.
Oh, look at you.
Just tying it up with an easy bow.
It's a little bit of a warm take right there.
I don't care, man. It's mine.
I would say that's a lukewarm take.
Buzz off, man. Okay, let's hear yours.
All right. My good. Mike, I just like making fun of you. That's all.
I know.
My good is Aleswith. I have to give it to Aleswith again. Eliza Butterworth. I always want to say Buttersworth because of South Park. Coming out. After the whole battle's done, after everything is over, she's like, this is great. By the way, I'm going to need a sea view.
Oh. Yes.
You have a great sea view here. That's awesome. I'm going to need one as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for the room.
Thank you.
Like, not even like, oh, can I stay or can we do this?
Like, does she want to stay there forever because she doesn't want to be at the castle or is this just her summer lodging?
Yeah, like this is just her summer house.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
When
I'm
in the area, I am going to need the best room.
You know, Uhtred, I treated you like dog shit all these years, but
I'm not even the queen right now.
Yeah, I'm just a lady.
No, I killed a man with my bare hands. Kind
I
of
wasn't
lady.
Wearing gloves.
Yes, yes. She now, I mean, maybe she just means tonight. Maybe just tonight she wants the proper
I room. Would hope so, because if that is for the rest of her life kind of lodging, mm-hmm. We got issues. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, yo, Aleswith, go get your shine box.
Mm-hmm.
My other good is actually the battle itself. Getting it over with right away. And actually the way that the battle was constructed, it was terrifically shot, terrifically choreographed. This is probably the best battle scene that we've had yet. I had a knowledge of where I was. I knew where all these people were coming from. I knew where they were going. I could see the entire battlefield at sometimes, yeah. and the Saxon army getting enveloped by the Scots.
Like my issue last episode where I didn't know where I was.
Right.
Was fixed in
this
one.
It was fixed in this one. And the battle itself told a specific story. There was, you know, rising tensions, and then there was releases of tension. There was, there was a certain amount of success, and then there was certain amounts of failure. There was a fake out of death for Aldhelm. There was a lot going on, and you know, whenever I think when a lot of filmmakers talk about battles and what they're supposed to look like, you know, the one that's always referenced is Helm's Deep in Lord of the Rings. Mm. And that's not just because we're Lord of the Rings nerds here, but that it's just because it's a perfectly constructed battle in every way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it was as epic as that because it wasn't, but I think it was constructed similarly with, successes and failures. And that's the important thing. If it's just people just fighting, it gets boring. It gets everything mishmashes together. You need to see somebody die. You need to see somebody fail. You need to see the changing tides of a battle. That is a perfect example of that is the Saxons getting enveloped. I'm sorry, the Scots coming out and getting enveloped, and then the other Scots coming from behind and running around, and then it's just an excellent structure mm-hmm. for a battle. The bad for me, I felt like during this battle, though, Edward was just about to fall off that edge for most of the battle. Like,
all he was doing was yelling, but next to his son, but still yelling.
I know, but it wasn't even the fact that he was yelling. It was more along the lines of, like, you see all these people getting, like, pushed off. Mm-hmm. And it felt like, Edward was next. Like, he was in the next row of people.
Reminds me of the game with the quarters when you're at, like, a little penny arcade.
I know.
And you put it through and you're like, come on, I'm so close to making them all fall and making myself rich.
It's such, oh.
That's what that game was.
And it just felt like
the quarter that just wouldn't fall.
It reminded me of, if you listeners are fans of Fast and the Furious, Fast and the Furious 6, when they have that mile long airstrip that just never seems to end. And that's how I felt with this scene where it was like, okay, it shows Edward almost at the edge. And then a bunch of people fall off and you're like, oh, dude, he's in the next row. Like, he's going to get thrown off. And then they cut to Uhtred and he's doing his big speech and mm-hmm. all this stuff is happening. And all of this is happening in real time. So then they cut back to Edward and he's still like three people deep.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what? Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
How did you not move?
And then my great is a blink and you'll miss moment.
Did I miss it?
Yes, you did. Well, actually, I told you. I remember when we were watching it, I pointed it out, but I'm not sure if you remember. It's a blink and you'll miss moment. And it was after the battle, everybody is celebrating, and there's this shot of Edward. And Edward is among all of his people, and he's walking through all the people. And as we're in this tracking shot, we're seeing all of the major players along the sides of him. We see Æthelstan, Steora, we see Aelswyth, and then, you know, eventually it leads to Uhtred at the end, and that's when they have their discussion. Mm-hmm. But before we get to the end, Æthelstan is there, and Edward is clinking cups with everybody, mm-hmm. and, you know, congratulations, and yada, yada. From the Instacart. And he doesn't take a drink, but what he does is as he's clinking cups with people, he sees Æthelstan, and he takes the cup, and he passes it to Æthelstan.
Aww.
And I thought that this was a great, magical, subtle moment mm-hmm. Of the show recognizing that Edward is the king. He's passing the cup to his son, who is going to be the next king,
yep.
the one that unites all of England, one that, you know, could be the person who makes all this happen.
Yeah, Uhtred references, yeah.
And I thought that was a great subtle reference, and that was really, really well written, very smart. Whether or not they intended for that, I don't know. I would like to think that they did. Mm-hmm. Either way, that's how I took it, and that's what I loved.
So
Marvin, oh my goodness gracious, we made it. We're here. We're at the end.
We sure did.
I can't believe we're here at the end.
Neither could Uhtred. I mean, he was crying.
Oh, man. So let's just talk about that real quick. That montage at the end. Oh. What did you think about that?
Like it.
Okay.
But I also have a problem with it.
Okay, what's the problem?
Where's Osferth?
Oh, they didn't show Osferth.
No.
Interesting.
Shame on you.
Oh, interesting.
Shame.
Exactly.
Wow. That's interesting. You know what? I don't remember seeing him. But you know who they did show? They showed my girl, Isolde.
They showed everybody. They even showed the witch lady. Not even Isolde, the lady before her.
Oh, yeah.
Why show her and not Osferth?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they did. I mean, if they didn't, that they is didn't. A big error.
They didn't.
That's a big error if they didn't.
I was waiting.
But, you know, the show, the good thing about what the show did was, the episode rather, is that the battle was over halfway through the episode, essentially. And the rest of it was more of a, I don't want to say a coda, but it was more of like a reflection on everything that's transpired in this entire series. And I think some people could call that a cop-out if they really wanted to. I'm not sure if I'm there with that. I think this show is so very concerned with its characters, and it's so very concerned with what has happened in Uhtred's life mm-hmm. and what has defined Uhtred at that moment. And it's important, I think, for him to reflect at the end, once he's in Bebbanburg, what has made him the person that he is today and how that is influenced by the speech that he gave at the top of our episode. You know, like, he is both Saxon and Dane, and that, and he can provide a life for both, right? And it's important to look back on his life and say, these are all the things that happened. Is there anything that did stand, I mean, other than Osferth not being in it, is there anything that stood out to you that happened in the montage?
No.
To be honest, I like the fact that they included Isolde.
Oh, they didn't have Tora either.
No, they definitely did not. I totally acknowledge that. We got Bianca, though. Bianca living and dying.
Appreciate.
Yep. We got some Gisela. That's good.
Yeah. I just, you know, you could sit there and say, okay, it's just people who have truly changed the direction in his life. Mm. But to which I'm going to say, then why have the witch lady?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it Skade?
I don't even, no.
No, it wasn't Skade.
Not the blonde witch lady, the black-haired witch lady.
Yeah, Isolde.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why have Isolde?
Because he loved her. I mean. That was his first, that wasn't his first love, but that was like.
I mean. Did she really change him?
She did, because she was the reason why he ended up going to fight Scorpa. Remember, he captured her and he held up her head?
I just don't think you need her. You need Osferth.
Well, if I had to make a choice, I agree. It would be Osferth, but I'm in on the Isolde life.
Okay.
I'm in. It's the sexiest moment of all of television mm-hmm. when she looks at him. And they showed that scene, too. You know what? I'm thinking. The writers do listen to us, because they included that scene. They included the chicken in Heston for you, and they included the sexiest scene in all of television for me.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So, are you pleased with the finale? Is it something that, like, because I do want to have a conversation about the show's legacy and mm-hmm. what it is and where it is in comparison to other shows.
I liked it. I liked that Uhtred just pushed Whitgar over onto his dining room table. It's going to take a lot of suds to get that out. It reminded me, because that's what they did in Jurassic Park with the Indoraptor.
Oh, yes, that's right. Jurassic World. Sorry. Come on, get that
Jurassic
right.
Jurassic World something.
Fallen Kingdom.
Thank you.
I got you.
It falls in the Triceratops horns.
Yes, it does. Yes. Look at you, so nerd.
That's what I thought. Oh, you're just like the Indoraptor.
Nerd! You know...
I loved what happened at the ending in regards to Edward thinking, okay, so now what you're going to do is we're all going to go outside and you're going to kneel. And it's cool because you've been baptized twice and you're just going to pledge allegiance to me. And Uhtred looks at him saying, bruh, This is my idea.
Right.
You suck. I've got the Hot King on my side. When the Hot King, King Constantine, rolls out after he gets his cousin back, or whoever that guy was, mm-hmm. rolls out on his horse, and he mean mugs
Edward. Such side eye.
Oh, my God. That's a king.
Mary's getting all flustered.
But honestly, Edward's just looking at him, and I thought that was a very telling shot.
Mm-hmm.
Standing there next to his mom.
Mom, he's looking at me funny.
I need my mom to cheer me up and send me off to battle. You know what was this the previous episode?
What?
I didn't like that Uhtred
yes.
was speaking to the king, saying, please, sir, don't go in.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
go
in. That was previous. Or was that this one? I see. It's all a blur.
No, it was this one. It was this
one. And, you know, obviously Edward says, shut up, kid. I'm going to do what I want. I'm the king.
Right.
But I was wondering, why even is Uhtred thinking he can tell the king what to do?
Right. Like, how is that even a thing?
Yes.
Like, why are you even on the front lines of anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. Someone messed up that order, that lineup order.
So, you know, I like that the show got rid of the battle essentially halfway through the thing, and because it wanted to deal with its legacy, I think.
Alltown being trampled, but not really dead.
Yes.
That, not appreciative.
Yeah. Well, what's worse, spoiler alert, Glenn and the Walking Dead or Alltown?
Glenn and the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I agree. That was way worse.
Because Alltown pops up 5 minutes later.
Yes.
I mean, should have at least had some gross looking thing on his face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was limping a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And he was, you know, clutching his chest.
And they would have felt bad killing. That, remember how last episode we were talking about who's going to die? And
yes.
He was one of the people who we thought. But I think they had to do it this way so we couldn't be mourning. We couldn't be super sad. We just felt complete after this episode.
Sure. And I think that's the point of getting the battle halfway done, is because there's no doubt, I think, in your mind or my mind or anybody that's watching this show, that they're going to win, right? Like, Uhtred's going to get Bebbanburg, right? So it's not about the battle. It has to happen, and it's something that they have to do, and they can make a big spectacle out of it, which they did with the slow motion and the big, like, they spent all of their VFX money on this battle. But what it really comes down to is, how do they handle the aftermath? Like, what is the thing that makes this episode tick? And what makes it tick is what Uhtred says to Edward later on. Like, that's the thing that, mm-hmm. that's why this episode exists, in my opinion. Because it has to be a reflection of Uhtred as he is, as a Saxon. I will, you know, honor you as my overlord, but you are not going to have these lands because you are not the person to unite Saxon and Dane. After all of the stuff that you've, all the division that you've sowed between Saxon and Dane, it ain't you. And I have no problem admitting that, you know, Wessex is going to take over the whole thing eventually,
mm-hmm.
just not in your lifetime. What do you think about that message, number one, but also how the remainder of the episode was handled with all the other characters?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him for saying that to Edward, and he kind of just got to call his bluff. Come at me, bro. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, right.
Now change your mind when you just scared all of these Danes. The Danes who you banished.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are all Sid Trigger's Danes.
Yes.
They just saved your arse.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do? Come at me, bro.
I will admit, we've talked about the king being kind of gray and kind of King Edward.
Okay.
Just being kind of wooden through most of this season. And I think that's probably by design. However, the hatred and the ugliness and the fieriness he has in his eyes and in his delivery, mm-hmm. when he's speaking with Uhtred, it shined for me. Like, it was spectacular. For some reason, that is when I was like, ooh, this ain't good. I mean, like, you knew it wasn't going to be good, but like, that was it just finally came out of him mm-hmm. a little bit more than what has been coming out in previous scenes. Mm-hmm. And for all of the part of him, I think, is right, where he's like, are you kidding me? Like, I just came here with my men mm-hmm. and liberated this whole thing for you. And now you're telling me to go pound sand?
No, you came here to save your niece.
Yes.
Your mom told you to.
Yes, but he also came there with, I think it was the presupposition that they were going to go get the niece, free Northumbria, Uhtred is going to take it over for the king, and then all of England was going to be united. I feel like that was one of those things that was discussed.
Yeah, it was discussed when he said it before Edward turned all of his men's swords on him. That was the deal before Edward went crazy.
Good okay? point. Good
he was
point.
With all the people, and everyone just, you know, stepped next to him, and then he took a sword on him. I'm going to take it back, too.
Good point.
You suck at being a king. I don't want my people around you.
You suck, bro.
Yeah.
Sucks to suck.
Yeah.
Æthelhelm gets it in the head, literally. Finally gets it in the head. We were talking last episode about who you think was going to kill Æthelhelm. Did he get his comeuppance? And did it go down the way that you thought it would? And did you like it?
I'm okay with it, but I don't. It's not how I wanted.
What did you want?
Him to fail in the eyes of his grandson. Because he tells him, like, tell my grandson I was brave or honorable or whatever. I died yeah. with honor. And I wanted his grandson to think opposite of him, which obviously he does.
Well, yeah, I mean, he walks away telling Æthelstan to do with him what he pleases, right?
Yeah.
And they have that whole...
I wanted them to hold hands and be like, brother, do with him how you please. Brother, and hold hands.
I don't think they're going to hold hands. I don't think Æthelstan's a hand-holding type.
No, he's not.
Elfweird is.
Yes.
I mean, with that hair. I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah.
I mean, you know you're into the hand-holding.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wanted Elfweird to kill the grandfather, but I'm glad he didn't, because like we said last episode, I don't think that he is capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Æthelstan is, and Æthelstan makes Phil recognize, oh, no, you're going to have to live with this. Death would be too easy for you. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Phil takes the sword, yeah. plunges it in, you know, into his jaw, and that's the end. But I feel like he got it pretty bad. Like, he recognized,
yeah.
like, there's no way out for mm-hmm. this here. And
agreed. I love that it was with Æthelstan.
Yes. I think it's when Æthelstan went into Bebbanburg after Uhtred, I was like, oh no. Like, because what I don't want Æthelstan to get into some useless battle, like in some useless fight for the sake of him doing it. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't want him to save Uhtred's life necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because I think Uhtred's strong enough to do that by himself and recognize, you know, what's coming. And I was like, oh, he's going to go in there and he's going to have some stupid fight with somebody that isn't going to be consequential to the plot whatsoever. Or he's going to save Uhtred's life and it's just going to, like, be a cute little bow, and I don't want that. And sure enough, once again, they subverted expectation and they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They have Æthelstan talk to his own brother about, you know, this kid's grandfather, telling him the truth. And then Uhtred fights his own battle with Whitgar. And you do have a sense that Æthelstan is trying to get Uhtred out once he comes out and he sees that Bebbanburg is burning. But then we have that great sequence where the rain starts and puts out all the fires. Tell me your thoughts, because I have some big thoughts about this, about the rain and coming in out of nowhere and putting the flames out, and that's that.
You want to know where the rain came from? I mean, they are on the sea.
I know, but like...
They get storms a lot.
What did you think about that?
It is England.
It's true. Is it...
It was destiny, Blake. It was destiny. Okay, you obviously you want to talk some deep stuff about the rain. It was beautiful. It was perfectly timed. I'm happy for Uhtred, and he cried.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was like perfectly timed.
It's okay. It happens. Mm. It's a finale. They're allowed to have that happen. And I was happy for him.
So.
And what I loved about it, too, is Æthelstan witnessed it.
Yes.
And here's Uhtred been saying, I'm a Saxon and a Dane and all this stuff. And, you know, he fights this far because he finally gets it and it's about to be ripped from him.
Yeah, right.
So I loved that. It's finally something went good for him.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and the rain comes and the thunder claps, you know, and of course, Thor, God of Thunder, the whole thing. And then the rain, thunder claps as soon as Uhtred says, no, it's my destiny to die in Bebbanburg. And that's when the rain comes and puts out all the flames. You know, I think in any other show, I would have a really hard time accepting this the way that it happened. But because the show has been so much and so focused on destiny and the struggle between God or gods and...
And Uhtred questioning his destiny. Right. I don't understand why I'm doing this. Why is this happening to me? And you see in the flashback everything he's gone to, gone through, and he's been vocalizing his confusion.
Right, right. And it takes, oddly enough, it doesn't take a Dane to convince him to keep going forward. It takes Father Purelig, and it takes Hild talking about their god, as opposed to the Dane gods, to keep pushing forward. It's their reassurance from their god that pushes him to his destiny of taking Bebbanburg. And again, that's kind of why I can kind of whistle past the graveyard on this, because the show has been so intentional with its depiction of Uhtred's destiny and what that means, and using not necessarily the gods, but the idea of the gods as the great mover of destiny, and for that thunder to clap the way that it does, with both, you know, a Saxon and a Dane within the walls of Bebbanburg, and put out the flames of, you know, evil, if you will. I think it speaks to both Saxon gods and Dane gods, and you can make your choice as to who is doing what.
Destiny is all, man.
Destiny is all. I find that to be an interesting choice for the show, and what they wanted to do with that. Let's see. Oh, the fiery cross.
The Scots.
When the Scots come walking out, this is for all of you Outlander nerds.
To the far Sassenach.
There is a fiery cross being
they burn the church.
Yeah, they burn the church. And the fiery cross is what indicates them coming to Bebbanburg, which I thought was interesting. And the funny thing is, the shot that they use for the fiery cross is the same exact angle from the previous episode where it was Edward's army crossing over to Bebbanburg. It was the same exact shot, but just different armies.
Cool.
And it was on fire, which is like really cool. Like, I love small things like that, where they can repeat scenes with different contexts and different meanings and what they indicate for the rest of the show. Anything else that you want to talk about for this episode, my love?
I mean, it really did tie things up with a nice bow. And as much as we can say that and say like, oh, that's what I like about movies, you know? So yes. If this is the finale, I'm here for it. Give me the lit up castle at Cinderella's castle in Magic Kingdom with the fireworks. Give me all the sappy. Give me all of the feels.
Yes.
However, what are we setting up for the movie?
Well, that's a great question. And I'm going to answer that by asking you another question.
I mean, I have some ideas too. Yeah.
Does the fact that we're getting a movie now take away from anything that the finale has accomplished?
No, because we were told once long ago that Æthelstan is the future king of England. If I didn't have that super, knowing that he was going to be the future king of England, I would have an issue saying, what happens next? How do we know Edward's going to stick to it? But seeing the relationship that Uhtred has with Æthelstan, even when they're fighting and he actually like betters.
Oh, yeah, Uhtred, betters Uhtred. Yeah, yeah.
That is why I'm 100% okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, of course, with a finale, what you want is finality, right? You want there to be a closure mm-hmm. on what you've been watching. And my sense is we got that. We got that from this episode specifically because we began the first season with Uhtred saying, Bebbanburg is mine.
Yes.
And then we have the final moment of the final season with Bebbanburg, Uhtred on the top, looking out over the ocean, mm-hmm. recalling his life and seeing all the things that he has gone through to get here, both good, bad, ugly, you know, hate, friendship, love, all of that. Mm-hmm. So they told a complete story, I think, for the series. And again, like I said, because, you know, the battle is the battle, it's not about the battle for Bebbanburg. We all knew that it was going to happen. We all knew that it was going to win.
Yes.
It's what is the cost of winning? And what is the cost of living both of those lives, both Saxon and Dane for Uhtred? And for him to look back on all of his failings, but also his, you know, his success is indicative of a bittersweet moment mm. where it's like, I'm finally here, but all this has happened and all my life is still in quite, like, it's not like we mentioned that it's a nice, neat little bow, but it's still not neat.
No,
not yet. So I think they told a complete story for the series, but that leads to your next question, Mary, which is, what are they going to do for the movie? And my sense is we're probably going to have another time jump.
Agreed.
And
I hope we get to stick with the same actor of Æthelstan. I've really enjoyed him, and I think that they can age him up, because I feel like this was the age that we had as Edward for younger, and they've aged him up.
And they aged up Steora, too.
Yes.
So I don't see a problem with aging him up. In fact, I would be shocked if they didn't do that.
We couldn't necessarily see the gender of the baby.
No.
So we don't know if the baby's male or female and what that's going to do for the line of succession.
Right.
Here's what I want.
Okay.
Okay. I'm shipping everyone. I want Edith and Uhtred to keep each other company, have a great time, snuggle.
Are they going to be a thing?
Yeah.
They're going to be a thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to be a thing,
there's
too.
There's so much sexual tension.
Yes.
And even though I loved her sexual tension with Finan, I appreciate that Finan's married and I like his wife. And yep. I think that this could be good for Uhtred. They've both been through a lot of stuff. And she knows that she's not going to replace his other honeys. Then, I want Steora to marry Constantine.
Why?
Why not? Somebody. Oh, but he has a love.
Yeah, so no, you can't. Aww. You can't do that. You can't do that.
Somebody's got to bet that man.
I volunteers.
Hild.
Yeah, Hild. Hey, how about Hild, by the way? Hild, coming out.
Yes.
Just ripping guys apart.
Just saying, please don't. Please don't. Okay, you're
fine.
Gone. I've been practicing.
I know. Oh, that was a great moment. Please don't. Just don't. And then she does, and that is it. And then she holds up the sword, and all the guys just run past her.
Yes.
As she's asking for forgiveness from God. Again, that's another, it's another, I don't want to say commentary, but it's an interesting note that as she's asking for forgiveness from God, all of the people from Bebbanburg, all of Whitgar's men just go running past her.
Yep.
With no fight, no nothing.
She must have a rep, man. She must be the fighting nun.
I know, right? And I thought that was also another nice bit of humor in this episode where, you know,
she shows up with Osbert. She's just awesome.
Right. And like, she's like, she is trucking her way to Bebbanburg with Osbert in tow.
Where was she hiding him? Because she's been at the fortress with Heston.
Good point.
How did she get him so quick? And they're coming from the ocean.
Right.
Did she just drop him off in the brush saying, hi, honey, you got to wait a couple
just
of days.
Just wait here.
I think these berries aren't poisonous.
Here's some newspaper just in case you have to go.
And if I'm not back in 3 days, go back home.
Yeah, what do you think about that, by the way? Hild bringing Osbert and the fact that we have his name now, Osbert.
Which makes sense. How do we friggin' not know he was going to be an Osbert?
A good point. Very good point.
He's Osbert, son of Uhtred.
Yes. What do you think about his inclusion at the end of all this? Because my sense is that he is going to play a major role in the film.
My sense is that the writer said, all right, we've heard it. We lost a baby. We got to fix this. That's what I think. I don't think he's going to play a major role at all. I think this was just mea culpa.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know what? And even if it is mea culpa, you know
I'm
what?
I'm here for
okay,
it.
Okay. You know what? You answered it. You did it.
Thank you. You brought the chickens and you brought Osbert. Osbert.
Osbert, yes.
Not Osbert.
Not Osbert.
He was. Yeah. Yeah. We need a flashback with him.
What's worse? Leia not hugging Chewie or.
Oh, that one.
Or Osbert.
No, not Leia. Being in.
Yeah, Leia.
Leia.
Hashtag spoiler
Chewie.
Alert.
Terrible.
That was. You know what? That was a miss.
That was.
That was a miss. You can't mess that up.
So that's what I want. I want Uhtred and Edith to have some nice times together. I had shipped Constantine and Stira, but I guess I can't.
No, you can't do that.
And yeah, I don't really know what else I want then.
So another
maybe Ethelstan and Stira? Yummy.
I could see that.
That could like combine the lands.
Yes, I could see that. But I don't think that will happen.
And they would fight together?
Oh, yes. They would totally be fighting.
Buddies. Okay, that's my new one.
Then I think
Mom and Dad, where'd you meet? Oh, when we were hiding along the countryside running for our lives. And Grandpa had to protect us.
I think the movie is going to be about Bebbanburg, right? Obviously. And how Uhtred has now maneuvered himself in between Edward and King Constantine and what will come of that, right? That side eye from Constantine means something. And that's why
he's riding away on his horse.
Yeah. That's why I ask you, Mary, does the knowledge of the movie take away from the finality of the finale?
No, because I think everyone knows Scotland's history with England. So even if we don't know like when, what happened to Constantine? What happened to Edward? I liked that. Mm-hmm. The Scots do not want to be a part of England.
Good point.
He wouldn't high-five them.
Like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
We just lost the battle.
To you, while you're sitting there with your mom.
Drinking your juice box.
Yeah. You can't even have the ale. It's too strong. I don't do stouts.
Would King Constantine have won the battle if he just listened to Ethelhelm? If he just waited, if he just shut the hell up and stopped worrying about, you know, like, having the big swinging dick.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
How come?
Because Uhtred was already inside the walls.
Yeah, but everybody was, well, yeah.
He would have figured something out. He would have even burned Bebbanburg.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
He wouldn't let that happen. He'd first free the chickens.
Oh, and then- yeah, obviously. Well, I mean, well. Since Heston's no longer there, they could actually roam free.
Free range.
Free range chickens. That's an interesting thought, Mary, that he would burn Bebbanburg. I don't know if he would. But I think it would be a lot harder.
I think he'd just be hiding in the rafters. How did they hide that long? Him and Finnan and Sitrick. How'd they hide for so long in the rafters and everything? He would just hide and slowly kill them all.
Good point.
He'd be like the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yes. Hanging people from the rafters.
Yeah, that's what he would do.
Nice. How about Finnan and Sitrick just taking those guys out when they were like caught in the jail? Just like no, he's like Uhtred says, "Hey, you guys got out." He's like, "Yeah, of course we got out." Like, what are you talking about?
I loved it. I love those boys.
And then Elfweird being imprisoned at the end of the episode, that gives you an indication of what's happened to him.
Oh my goodness! With all he just wanted snacks.
That's all he wanted.
He was
wanted a
so
book.
Happy because he hated the food that Utgard was giving him, and he finally was that chicken?
I don't know. I don't know if it
looked more like a charcuterie plate with like grapes and cheese and stuff. Yeah. That's more his style.
There's some gabagool. Oh, that's a good Sopranos reference for all you nerds out there. All right, yeah. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my love? Okay. Where I want to talk about the Last Kingdom's legacy and where it stands among your favorite shows, Mary, but also where it stands among other shows. And I have a great question I want to ask. But let's see where it stands for you first.
Okay.
Where would you, like, obviously we were, you know, this podcast was one that was contracted to us because we did it for the Nerd Clan. And we didn't go into The Last Kingdom knowing that we were going to like it. We didn't know anything about it. We just said, okay, we're going to podcast it as we go. And here we are, and we're at the end, and I'd like to know your thoughts on the show overall. Is it one that you've come to love? Is it one that you've come to respect? Is it among your top 10? Like, where is this show for you?
I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to think of top 10. It's not my top 5.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I don't think it's my top 10.
Fair enough. Is it one, like, as we said, we came into the show not knowing a thing. Is it a show that you've come to love?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But my taste in television shows that I would rewatch would not necessarily include this.
Okay.
Because it's had it, and I don't want you all sitting here like they're like you're listening, you're like, Mary, we just listened to you for 5 seasons. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just I'm not a gory person.
Yes.
And so I'm not someone who's really gonna be rewatching it. I can appreciate a show and not want to rewatch it again.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's fair. Because you know, I'm not a big rewatcher myself in terms of television shows.
I don't have time for that.
I know, that's true. So for me to say that I wouldn't necessarily rewatch The Last Kingdom again, that doesn't stand out as, I think, a barometer for me. Mm-hmm. I've only rewatched a couple of shows over time. But I would say that I really came to love this show. As a matter of fact, now because of this show, I have Thor's hammer around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and got one because I'm Danish, and I was like, you know what? I can like I've never had a thing where I was like proud of being Danish, mm-hmm, until kind of now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, bless you. Mary's just sneezing. Sorry. I've never had a thing where I was proud to be Danish. And then I saw this and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like, and now I wear Thor's hammer on my neck because I just think that's kind of awesome. But I come to love the show. It took, I'd say, a good 2 seasons for me to actually really get invested. Mm-hmm. The first 2 seasons were very good, but the 3 through 5 is what really sold it for me. And I would recommend, actually, I recommended it to my neighbor, and he loves it, and he actually finished it before we did. Mm. And I recommended it to him like a month ago, and he just plowed through the whole thing. So I came to love the show. I came to get really invested in the relationships that they fostered for Uhtred, and Alexander Draiman really grew on me as an actor. And I'm going to miss it. And I'm certain that I will rewatch an episode here or there. But Mary, my question to you is, this show has, I think, and rightfully so, been compared to Game of Thrones on many different levels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were actually having a conversation earlier today that, you know, when we were talking about the last episode, you know, we were like, oh, we're going to talk about the crab feeder. You're like, oh, wait, no, that's House of the Dragon. And you're saying that they were so visually similar. And, you know, the swords and the whole thing. And it's just a similar style. My question to you is The Last Kingdom better than Game of Thrones?
Now that it's done?
Now that it's done, knowing what happened to Game of Thrones at the end, mm-hmm, and the longevity of it, is the what told her a better story, in your opinion?
Well, what's cool about this is it's a lot of it was based upon real stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a massive difference for me.
Yeah. But just as a narrative?
I don't know.
Because I think it's an interesting debate.
It is an interesting debate. What are your thoughts? I feel like you've got thoughts on this.
I do. Because obviously the Game of Thrones was more of a cultural hit. Mm-hmm. And it's, to say it's a cultural hit is... I think doing it a major disservice. I mean, it's a cultural zeitgeist, really. It changed television as we know it, Game of Thrones. So it's far more quotable. It's far more recognized. Mm-hmm. And The Last Kingdom, I think, goes underappreciated. And I think it gets diluted because of the show Vikings at the same time. So a lot of people be like, oh, like I remember talking to my neighbor about it, being like, oh, I know that show. Isn't it called Vikings or whatever? It's on Netflix. And I said, no, it's its own show. Like The Last Kingdom, it's its own thing. I think it gets diluted a little bit. But when I think about the narrative, I think that The Last Kingdom did a better job. I think it told a more complete story.
Yes.
I think it told a much more efficient story.
But that's because the story, this has been written. George R. R. Martin couldn't write. It's like sloth speed.
That's a good point.
So if George could have told his whole story, would it have
been? Yeah, but you know, but like, but let's.
Sucks for you, George.
That's true. I mean, it sucks to suck. I mean, you know, like, that's your fault.
Maybe start working a little harder, buddy.
Stop having coffee with Diana Gabaldon in Arizona.
Yes.
And why don't you start writing Winds of Winter?
Yes.
Yes, but I mean, there's also, I think, some responsibility for David Benioff and D.B. Weiss to tell the story as they were telling it, as the showrunners of Game of Thrones, right? So when you look at the two as complete stories, I would still argue that The Last Kingdom did a better job. And it didn't... It frightened me a little bit at the beginning of the season because we were moving quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, The Last Kingdom has always moved quick with its pace, especially in those first two seasons. But about halfway through the season, I would say episode 4 or 5, all of a sudden, everything slowed way down. Mm. And instead of getting the chess pieces, I think except for like that, I think for episode 8, or was it episode 7? It was episode 7, where it felt like chess pieces. The season slowed way down, and we really got a sense of what our characters were going through and the struggles that they were facing. Mm-hmm. So because of all that, I think I kind of like The Last Kingdom better.
Wow.
I think I do. Like, you can't deny the cultural phenomenon that Game of Thrones was. But I don't know. It's just an interesting debate. And I would love to hear, you know, the listener's thoughts if you're a Game of Thrones fan or last.
It's so hard because of the last season and the whole situation with George not finishing his story, because they are super different. You know, if you're just comparing storyline to storyline and characters being tied up, you know, loose ends, I can see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
With things being cleaner and more complete in regards to the finales of these shows. But on the flip side, if you're talking about what did I like more, man, I love me some magic. I love me dragons. I love the White Walkers.
So the spectacle. There's more spectacle in Game of Thrones.
I'm just more of a fantasy person than a blood person.
Yes. And Game of Thrones did both of those for you.
But Game of Thrones was a lot more rapey.
Yes.
And they did their ladies wrong many a time, I think.
If anything, The Last Kingdom has done the opposite of that.
Yes.
The total opposite. And I feel like they've propped them up.
Yes.
So it's an interesting debate. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at it objectively, there's a conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. So that's that. All right. Anything else you want to talk about for this episode, my love, or the series in general?
I loved the family hug with Uhtred.
Oh, yes.
And Wee Uhtred and Steora.
Yes.
That hug was so good.
That was quite good. That was quite good. We finished it.
Do they have ships at Bebbanburg? I didn't see any ships.
Well, they got the King Constantine's ship.
Well, he probably went home on that.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
Luckily, he only had like 3 people left. He was on a horse. Maybe he'd ride home.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. We can't believe we did it. It's done. It's over. I really like this series. And thank you to the Nerd Clan for recommending this series to us. And, you know, it was a reward, for, you know, gaining a certain amount of members at the Nerd Clan. And we're going to continue to do those types of deals, in the future, where we will ask your opinion on what you want us to podcast about if we hit a certain goal. So if you want to be a member, join the nerdclan.com, please go ahead and do so. You will have the right and the honor, but you'll have the right to, vote on our next podcast when we are able to do that. And that will be that. And among all the other things that we have going on over at jointhenerdclan.com too, including free swag and Blake's book club.
Oh my God, guys, I just had a heart attack. Blake's our next one.
No. We're not adding another podcast for a while.
In 2022.
No, I mean, we got enough going on. So, but you know, eventually we'll have another one, and eventually, the members that join the Nerd Clan will get a chance to decide on that. So thank you to all the members there for helping enrich our lives. That was this because of the show. It's a big deal. So very many thanks to you. All right, Marvin, are you ready to close this bad boy out? Let's do it.
Thank you all so much. It's been fun to talk about a very different show than I would normally watch.
Yes.
And to be able to share the things that I like and I don't like. And I'm shocked that I ended up liking so many people on this show.
Including Heston.
I mean, my number one. Finnan's my number one. Heston's my number two.
I would say he's a 1A.
Who's a 1A?
Heston. He's a 1A.
Yeah.
Or a 1B. Whatever.
I mean... In some ways, he's better than Finnan. I would want Finnan for my bow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But
who would you rather have, King Constantine or Finnan?
That is a great question. Mm-hmm. I think King Constantine.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because Finnan hangs with bros more than hoes, and I just feel like he'd always be like, "Oh, sorry, honey, I gotta go. Uhtred wants to go fight for this person. Sorry, honey, gotta go again." Whereas Constantine, I'm gonna get you a nice outfit. I'm gonna let you redecorate the house. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get you a masseuse, and we'll just be cozy. We'll watch Gilmore Girls together. I don't even watch the Gilmore Girls right now, but love it because the other people watch the Golden Girls. I'm more of a Gilmore Girls kind of person.
Oh yes, yeah.
And if he was into me, I'd be down. I wouldn't be with King Constantine if he was in love with someone else. I'll say that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but both Finnan and Constantine hearts are taken right now.
Yes.
But if they both were single and ready to mingle, I would go with Constantine.
I'm getting a little flustered.
Intimidated?
A little flustered at this conversation.
Maybe you should get some fur and wear some dark blue.
I have all the dark blue. I don't have a crown.
And get a horse.
You see me ride a horse once. It was miserable.
They gave Blake the smallest horse. It was like a pony. It couldn't.
I was bigger than the horse.
Yes.
That poor thing almost broke its back. Oh, man. What a mess. Well, everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this show and to be a part of what we're doing here at Mary and Blake Media. It is always an honor and a blessing to be with you and enjoy this community together and watch television shows and talk and nerd out at the Mary and Blake Facebook group or at jointhenerdclan.com. And just to have a community of people that just love the same thing as you do. You know, not a lot of people know The Last Kingdom, and we are here and we're with you and we're talking about it. And it's just so much fun. And, like I said, a real honor to have you allow us into, I think, the most sensitive part of your body, and that is your ear. So thank you so very much for allowing us to be a part of your life for the show and your experience. And we're not going away entirely for The Last Kingdom. We will be back. We will be back for the feature film, which will be, as we have noted, is to be announced when that will be premiered. My best guess, like I said, probably next year. You know, next year around this time, or maybe even in November-ish, we'll see what happens. But we have no idea. But when it comes out, trust me, we will be back here with The Last Kingdom of Mary and Blake talking about Uhtred and how much Mary loves Constantine and Finan, and why I should be wearing blue and have a crown.
And have an accent, either Irish or Scottish. Fun fact, Constantine actually is Irish and he was faking his Scottish accent.
And Finan is actually Scottish and faking his Irish accent.
Love it.
All right, Marvin.
Basically, you need an accent. Guess what?
Oh, I got one. Yeah, go down to the packy over at Harvard. Harvard kids suck. All right, that's it.
My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.